Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently on this beautiful Friday. Beautiful, historic Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Convention Center, Tiki and Tierney, setting up shop, getting ready for Army, Navy, and all the pageantry that goes with it. This is an incredible setup, a beautiful scene, and we're right in the middle of it. Teak, what's going on, buddy? How are you today?
Man. We're by the end of our show, this place, this convention hall should get pretty full with some people coming in for a gala. It's a big gala. I wish you would have told us about it.
A little underdressed here, Teak.
I'm very
underdressed. For once, you're underdressed.
For a gala.
Wait, the one time we're at a gala, this guy wears scarves and bow ties.
You brought the jacket. Did you get the memo or something?
Samter's got a jacket on sitting over there.
Teaky and Tierney makes a public appearance. We gotta step out correct, man.
It's an exciting time. There's going to be a lot of dignitaries here tonight. Obviously, some cadets we're already seeing, midshipmen, etc.
Yep.
We did media row with a lot of the stations from around the country that are following this station. From Denver's here and North Carolina. Obviously, our local WFAN is here as well, Barton, Maggie, and Chris. And so this is an exciting time for Army, Navy. I think this game represents so much. It's right with sport and college football. And even though I can't make the game tomorrow, I am excited for the game to go off tomorrow.
Listen, this is a big one for Army. You know, I was looking back at some of the it's a big one for Navy. Let me take that back. It's a big one for Army and Navy.
Yes.
Because you can enter this game, you could be 1-9 or 1-10, and this changes the entire complexion of how you view your season, of course. But Army, Army's had a tremendous renaissance. Now, last year they were 10-3. And by the way, we'll do our normal Friday show. Yeah. We'll make the picks, get into the Titans and the Jags from last night in a minute. Got some NBA stuff for you as well, something on LeBron. But the Army Black Knights of the Hudson Valley, they're 9-2, right? And I think people forget, they lost in week one at Duke. They lost 28-21 at Oklahoma. They lost to the Sooners by a touchdown. This Army team is really good. And outside of last year when they had 10 wins, the last time they had double-figure wins was back in 1996. So Army was this long-pronounced swoon, and the renaissance is back.
Yeah,
so
right.
they've got control right now.
Even though they may be the favorite and the better team.
7 points, by the way. Hey, just because they're Army-Navy doesn't mean that your boy BT doesn't check out the points.
Of course
spread.
You're going to look
it's
at the
part
points.
Part of my job. I mean, come on.
7 points doesn't seem – I mean, Navy's 3-9.
Shop around.
Shouldn't it be bigger? Shouldn't it be a wider spread, Sharp Tierney?
Well, it could be. It's hard to quantify. Here's the thing. Rivalry games.
Yeah, you're right.
You're probably better
right.
kind of – erring on the side of competitiveness. And by the way, Navy still plays that tricky style.
Mm-hmm. Well, Army does too now.
True.
They both Army's have a similar style with the triple option.
That's true.
So it's been around, and it's interesting because the triple option, which is like the old school way of playing football going back, over the decades, is starting to influence. You see the reads that they do in the triple option. It's infiltrating college football for years now, and it's starting to get in the National Football League. Now, they'll never run the triple option in the NFL again, but, can you imagine
Seriously,
that's what I'm saying.
If
you have the talent,
yeah.
You have two really good running backs and an athletic quarterback, why not break out the triple option?
Don't say never. There's things that have permeated the NFL that we never thought we'd see.
Yeah, and by the way, all you got to do is do it, twice. And now every defensive coordinator's
right.
got to think about it.
Get it on tape.
Get
it's something
on tape.
Else to prep for and
You're
something
right.
else to think about. So we are thrilled to be here. Really, just a beautiful setup. Great stage here. Everybody from CBS Sports Network. You can see some of the signage. They really took care of us nicely. It is a great spot, the Pennsylvania Convention Center. By the way, there's 37,000 entrances. How long did it take you to find the right door?
I actually walked in the right way the first time.
Are you serious?
Because it was the garage. I walked right out of the garage, by the way.
Oh,
see, that's why.
I parked at a garage five blocks away.
Oh, see, there's your problem.
It said convention center parking.
Yeah, because it all is convention center parking. It's marketing. They're trying to market to get you to park there if you have to go to the convention center. Not telling you that it's like a 5 mile walk.
It's like, you're right. It's like the little obscure one in the middle of Manhattan that says like Madison Square Garden parking. Meanwhile, it's up in Harlem. You know, it's, or it's in Brooklyn. All right, so we're here, and this is awesome. And Roger Staubach, by the way, this hour. Roger Staubach's going to stop by. And a little later on, General Pete Dawkins will be with us. So we'll have the Army side repped, of course, the Navy side repped. Pete Dawkins won the Heisman back in 1958, the last Army player to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, you were reading his bio like I was, his Wikipedia. This man is – there can't be many more accomplished people walking the face of the earth when you incorporate sports, academics, philanthropy.
Yeah.
This guy is just incredible.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing, BT. And also, I was marveling at how he fought in the wars, obviously, in Vietnam. And he was – what did I read? He was the highest cadet or the highest ranked cadet who rose to brigadier commander or a brigade commander.
Mm-hmm.
He was the president of his class. He was a captain of the football team, but he also was like the captain of like the hockey team.
Did everything. Played baseball.
Did everything.
Yep.
He's an impressive individual, aged man. He's 80 years old now. He'll join us on set. And we'll talk about the last time Army, when they were winning Heisman trophies back in the day.
So he will join us. And Desmond Howard as well. Game day is on set, so we got all that for you. All right, last night's game. Here's my takeaway, aside from the sick mush job by Derrick Henry, actually two of them.
Yeah.
And he joins Tony Dorsett, who ironically we had on the show a couple of weeks back. And Tony.
We were talking about it.
We were talking about that.
Is anybody ever going to match your record? I don't know if he said yes or no.
He said that he hoped somebody would.
Yep.
And in a very classy gesture last night, Tony Dorsett tweeted directly at Derrick Henry, gave him some social media love, let him know that he saw the accomplishment. First of all, the Jaguars are pathetic. Mm. The Jaguars should be ashamed of themselves.
Are they lying down?
Listen, are you actually asking? I should be asking you that
question.
Are they lying down?
Last week they held Andrew Luck, who is one of the most explosive teams and quarterbacks in football right now, to zero.
Well, let me rephrase this. They compete selectively.
Yes.
And that's a problem. That's a systemic thing.
You're right.
I don't know how to eradicate that. That's worse, actually. I agree with you.
That's absolutely worse.
Because you have the ability and the wherewithal to be good when you actually lock in. But they just don't. They don't respect the game this year.
Well, they're not respecting the game. It feels like there's a lot amiss. And some people have asked, you know, and you start hearing these conversations, well, who has to go? Obviously, the quarterback. They got to figure out the quarterback. What happened with Blake Bortles? The number is just, it's astronomical. $16+ million that you have to just swallow, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
At that position, because then you got to obviously bring in somebody else. And whether that's a vet or you draft a young rookie, who knows if it fits the system correct? It's just, they're in a bad situation.
They're in a terrible spot.
They're in a very bad situation. Defensively, though, I mean, this could – it's an anomaly because they became front runners, right? Last year when you're winning and you're surprising people, even though it was – when you really go back and look at it, the competition and their schedule down the stretch was light. And so they looked really good against a light schedule but then took care of business when they had to, like beating the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Scored 40-something points at Heinz Field.
In the divisional round. It's amazing. You give them credit. But in some ways it created this, like, front runner mentality. And as soon as things started to go awry, right, the health started to fade. Right, Leonard Fournette hurt his hamstring in week one. He missed 6 weeks.
Against the Giants, he got hurt.
Against the Giants, exactly right. You start to see Marquise Lee goes down before the season.
They got rid of Allen Robinson.
Yep, Allen Robinson, Burns.
Gone, Dallas.
And so this
offensive line issues.
Yep, all those guys, Lavitre, they're all banged up. And this idea that they were going to compete and just grow off of last year fell away really quickly. And with that, their mentality to compete fell away. And that's why you get games like last week at Indy where it's like, man, these dudes are world beaters.
They shut out
amazing.
Luck, yeah.
Yep. And then you get a game like last night, even though it was a short week, where Derrick Henry just pounds you into submission with 238 yards and four touchdowns.
The maddening inconsistencies. But to the point, you know, shame on – and I can say this, and I can stare right into the camera, and I can say this with great confidence. You and I never took the bait on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
We never did.
No, you're right.
Now, we didn't think that they would become this, that they might win five games, go 5-11.
It's a quarterback league, right?
Well, yes, and I really, of course it is. And I really, although it, in certain circumstances, if you have the requisite running game and you've got a great defense and a great head coach, you can piece together a really good season on occasion. But the problem is the division's gotten better.
Yeah, true.
And I mean, they were living in a, Andrew Luck didn't play football last year.
Yeah.
Although they just beat him, so that's not the best example. But the Texans have won 9 straight.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans are 7-6. And let me get to Marcus Mariota for a minute. You know, because I this guy, Teague, he misses throws every week by 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, throws bombs that should be touchdowns. Guys are open. And he's confounding. Now, he's 25 years of age. He's relatively injury prone. He's made just 53 starts. So we're certainly not trying to, you know, close the chapter on Marcus Mariota. He's got a solid quarterback rating. There's a pretty good, pretty solid as well, touchdown to pick ratio. If you never watched Marcus Mariota play in the NFL and you looked at his numbers, you'd say, well, this guy's pretty good.
Yep.
But then you watch him play in the NFL. And I ask you, is he really, truly a franchise quarterback?
Well,
you know my answer.
Well, I mean, what does a franchise quarterback need to be now, right?
Okay.
In the John Elway era, in that era, like
Marino, Montana,
and even up until the beginning of Tom Brady, a franchise quarterback was the guy who didn't make mistakes, right? Who was a great leader in the locker room, which is, I think, those still apply to Marcus Mariota. But also, nowadays, you have to be someone who can be dynamically explosive as a quarterback. Right? You have to create big plays. Teams score in the National Football League. How many times we've had this discussion about defense? Defense matters, but kind of doesn't really matter. Right? So you have to counter with an explosive offense. And in today's NFL, the franchise tag on the quarterback, meaning the rhetorical tag, not the actual tag, means – can this guy win me a game if we need to score 40? And that's not Marcus Mariota.
No.
It's not.
No.
I mean, the reason they only got the reason they got the 30 is because Derrick Henry had a day.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, he was tremendous.
Other than
their buddy Derrick Henry, had him on the show and he won the Heisman.
I'm happy for him.
The day before he won the Heisman, he came in.
17 carries, 238 yards with a long of 99. You look at that stat and that's awesome. I'm happy for him.
How did it take him 18 seconds, though, to run 99 yards?
Because he stopped and mushed the linebacker, Jacobs.
20 seconds.
Dude, he literally stopped, though.
No, I know.
AJ Boye
got mushed.
He had no
then
chance.
He said, Miles Jack, you take a seat. I'm going to smack you around as well. What an impressive run.
But
back to Mariota, because what Henry did was phenomenal. I think you nailed it. You started this whole conversation, or this part of the conversation, by asking me, what's a franchise quarterback? And pulling up the older, like Phil Sims was a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no doubt. You know, he had the defense, had the coach, he had a pretty good offensive line, had actually a very good O-line.
Yep,
Joe Moores, they could run the ball, they had a good tight end.
O.J. Anderson.
All those guys. And after Joe Moores, O.J. Anderson, they won 2 Super Bowls, even though he was hurt for the second. But Phil Sims didn't necessarily have to go and put up 30 or 40.
Right.
He didn't have it.
And you could get away with it.
It's a different NFL. My definition of a franchise quarterback is very simple. Can you go on the road, on the road, because anybody can flourish at home when things are home, a little home cooking. Can you go on the road and can you drop, not 40, 30-plus in a tough venue against not a great defense, a good defense? And the answer to Mariota, just based on his 53 career starts, the answer is no.
Yeah.
So I guess the other question is, at what point does the question expire?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where it gets interesting for teams that have to make that decision contractually.
Well, they do have to make that decision contractually. He's on this fifth-year option. I can't remember. Sam, did they pick up?
He's the same as Jameis Winston.
But did they pick it up? They picked it up. So they picked up his fifth-year option. So they're evaluating right now. Obviously, the fifth-year option is kind of like the franchise tag. You can pull that back after the season before he signs it. And so it's one of those things where this season, even though his completion percentage looks good, his touchdown interception ratio is it's okay. 13-8 is not exceptional, but there's nothing. It feels like there's nothing special other than his leadership qualities and his ability not to make a ton of mistakes.
Yeah, I got to pay. You got to do a little more than be a good guy
and to pay him $19 million
a
year.
I mean, to be a respectable citizen.
The
expectation is you're a respectable citizen, and you drop 40 touchdowns.
But here's what we don't know, and at least this is what
he's got 13 touchdowns. But this is the second week of December.
But this is what you hear. They love him in the building. So in the building,
but do they? Well, you mean they love him
like
as
from
a
the
person?
Front office? Yes. Yes.
Well, we've met him.
Yes.
Listen, I would love to have that kind of person marry my daughter.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he'd co-sign.
Absolutely.
Marcus Mariota is a winner. He's selfless. He's humble. He's everything that you want in a person. I don't know that he's everything you want in a quarterback.
Yeah, unfortunately, unless Derrick Henry goes for 200 and something yards, then they're going to have trouble beating some of the better teams going down the stretch, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, and if Derrick Henry was, with all the respect to Derrick Henry, if he was a little bit more like Todd Gurley, a little more dynamic, like maybe on Le'Veon Bell or you in your five great years, or Marshall Faulk, then maybe you could kind of work around that. But even Derek Stile, while he ran 99 yards and obviously mushed everybody along the way, he doesn't do that on a week-to-week basis.
No.
I mean, he's solid. He's nothing more than solid. So they've got some tough decisions. You're not buying the Titans moving forward, just to put a wrap on this, right?
I am not. Right, but I loved watching that game last night.
That was fun.
That was fun.
1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We are live from beautiful historic Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania Convention Center, Army, Navy tomorrow. It is going to be tremendous. We've got Roger Staubach coming by our set in about 20 minutes or so. Inbounds, out of bounds, hour number 2, 4 Eastern and 1 Pacific. General Pete Dawkins, the last Heisman Trophy winner from Army back in 1958. Incredible. At 5 Eastern, we've got Desmond Howard on the set. Talk about Jim Harbaugh. He obviously played at Michigan. You and I got into that yesterday. And coming up tomorrow, Sunday, this is where Mahomes could ice the MVP. Or maybe lose it. He's playing the Ravens without Kareem Hunt. Let's get into some of the action Week 14. Tiki and Tierney on the road, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Okay, Army fight song rolling on. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We're on the road, as you can tell, in beautiful downtown historic Philadelphia. I've been here a bunch, you know, a lot of Villanova games, a couple of class trips back in the day. Never for Army-Navy.
Yeah.
What a great energy.
Yeah, I've never been down here for an Army-Navy game either, but I watch the game every year.
Oh, yeah.
My father-in-law likes to come, and we were going to come this year, but we'll be in Connecticut tomorrow with AJ and the Greenwich Cardinals as try to win the Class LL state championship. So it's exciting. Exciting.
By the way, they expected to win. I mean,
they are expected to win.
This is
a team that they beat earlier in the season. I forget what the score was, but they've beaten this team already. So we'll see what happens.
That's awesome.
Good,
look at AJ.
Good luck
number
to
15,
AJ.
Huh?
Yeah, he's number 15.
What's the symbolism behind that? Anything? Or is he just
he's just always been 15. Even going back to Little League Baseball, he was number 15. Chasing for a while. He's my other son who's 6'2 at 14.
That's a big one.
He wore 21 for a minute, and now he wears 18. So.
Okay.
Yeah, they're establishing their own identity. So we're excited tomorrow against New Canaan at 10 o'clock. So I'll keep you updated.
Oh,
via social
text
media.
Messages for sure, man. If I don't get them, I'm going to be very disappointed.
That means things went wrong.
Yeah, I know. That's true. But then I'll be hitting you up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So number 2, Greenwich against number 8, New Canaan. So they're supposed to win, let's face it. That number 2 is a little better than the number 8. So if they don't win, there'd be problems. All right. You know, I don't know if the Ravens are going to win this game. By the way, Roger Staubach, next segment here on the show. I don't know if they're going to win this game. I love what Lamar Jackson has done for the Ravens running game.
Yes.
But
he's opened it up significantly.
Oh, no doubt. They've never had back-to-back-to-back rushing totals in the history of the Ravens franchise like they have now.
Which is crazy to
think
about.
They've had some good runners.
Absolutely.
Sure.
They have over the year.
And,
Jamal Lewis.
Yes, Jamal Lewis.
He rushed for 2,000 yards.
Yeah,
he was a stud.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that they never have had it back-to-back-to-back. But it goes to show you what a mobile quarterback can do for an offense, because now, as a defense, you have to account for them. You can't just say, oh, the quarterback's not going to run. Oh, that bootleg is just fake action that we're not going to have to pay attention to. You have to actually see and make sure he doesn't have the football in his hand and is running around the end, and it opens up everything else for the other guys. So it works for them. The thing that we talked about yesterday, BT, though, is if this Ravens team wants to go far into the postseason, it's kind of the same conversation that we were having about Marcus Mariota. Obviously, Mariota is 4 years in. Lamar Jackson's in his rookie season, but at some point they're going to play a game against whomever, could be the Steelers or could be whoever in the postseason. They're going to have to score 35 points, and if he can't do it, then that's a detriment to them. That's the one argument that a lot of people have for Joe Flacco at this point in the season, is that he's been to the postseason, he knows he can score points. Whether he's good enough to actually still do it, we don't know, but he can score points. Lamar Jackson can just chew up yards, chew up the play clock, play fundamental football by keeping it away from the other team by running the ball so well. But at some point, you got to score.
Yeah, but I would even make it – I'm going to position it a little differently here. Yeah, you might have to score 30-something, but you might also have to come back – before you have to score 30, you might have to come back from a 17-3 third-quarter deficit.
And that's what we might see this week.
Yeah, we could see that. And, you know, that's the one thing – you know, it's – I don't want to say that it's easy because it is not. We know it is not easy. But now they've got three games of extensive film on Lamar Jackson here. So there's going to be some adjustments on his part, and that's what all young players have to do. You had to do it. Quarterbacks do it. It is what it is. But I'd really like to – like, I almost want to see the Ravens drop two bombs on them early. Two, boom, boom, just a quick left-right, 14-zip, or even 10-0, just where
– You mean the Chiefs.
The Chiefs are up 10-zip or 14-zip. This way it forces the Ravens to get out of the comfort zone that they've established with Lamar Jackson, because quite frankly, as much as we like Lamar, you and I both liked him coming out of Louisville. We thought it was very unfair the way he was the way he was positioned. He's not a quarterback. Do your homework. Watch some film. The kid's a quarterback.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of guys coming out of college thought, a lot of analysts said he's best positioned for the NFL because he does throw the ball downfield. He's not throwing the bubble screens and all those things. He wasn't very accurate. I mean, it was 55 or 56% completion percentage at Louisville, but he was at least having to read and throw the ball downfield.
That's a great point, and we've talked about that. Petrino's offense was vertical, so he had to do some things that Baker Mayfield didn't do. Right. Darnold threw it downfield at USC a little bit, but I look at him, and I want to know. I want to see where he is because I think that Ravens fans now – are going to be sorely disappointed.
What you mean?
He has not done much football at all.
Well, he hasn't.
And I believe that that's been ignored largely.
Yeah, because he hasn't had to, and it just feels good that they've pulled themselves after thinking, oh, man, Joe Flacco's got a hip injury. Yeah, we want to see Lamar Jackson, but we also want to get to the postseason.
Yep.
But here he is, surprisingly, three games in a row with him at the helm. Nothing spectacular other than his running totals. And they've won three games, and now they're 7-5 and sitting right there available in the last wild card spot. So I believe that he can do it. I just think it's going to be some bad growing pains, BT. I can see a lot of mistakes in whatever game that happens to be in, and it could be this weekend against the Kansas City Chiefs. Because, I mean, I don't care how good a defense is. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to score points, and Lamar Jackson's not going to get it done by running for 110 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I was going to say converse. I do want to see the Chiefs push a little bit here. You know, listen, you can tell me whatever you want about next man up and Kareem Hunt, and it's a system, and you've got, you know, Kelsey and all these vertical weapons and Tyreek Hill and Mahomes' arm talent is unlike anything we've seen. Check, 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 by the way. Those are all true statements. But, you know, it's another thing when they're forced to play a different style. How many passes has Patrick Mahomes thrown trailing in the fourth quarter?
Not many.
Probably, I'm going to guess, 20 or 30 whole year.
And it was against the Patriots, really, was the only time that it...
And the Rams.
Oh, the Rams.
The Rams, that high school 54-51 game.
The Broncos, they had to come back a little bit.
True. That was earlier in Denver. But most have been, you know, let's get out in front and let's just, you know, rowboat you to death here and just smack you around.
And here's something that's interesting to keep an eye on, BT. Sammy Watkins has... I think he's been downgraded. I don't know if he's out. Sam, can you check to see if he is out? So he's out. Sammy Watkins is out for 4 weeks, and they picked up Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Look, BT, we know what this offense is about, right? It's speed. It's fast.
Yeah.
It's aggressive. It's
shiftiness.
It's like all
improvisation.
Kelvin Benjamin's not that.
He ain't that.
So I don't know if he's going to play this week, but
what a disappointment.
We kind of like we underappreciate what Sammy Watkins has brought to this to this team. I mean, they're so diverse. You can't double everybody. So somebody's going to be man-to-man or they're single covered or stuck in a zone somewhere, and Pat Mahomes is going to find him. And so without him, you got to worry about how this offense – well, him and also now without Kareem Hunt, how is this offense going to keep functioning? I think they got away with it last week, maybe because it would just happen so quickly. And Spencer Ware has been there, and you just throw him into the mix. He didn't do anything special, but he didn't hurt you at all. And they still scored 40 points. But as teams now scout them and say, all right, they don't have four wide receivers, basically, that can kill us.
Mm-hmm.
We take away these top two. Now what are you going to do? There's a challenge for both of these teams this week from Kansas City standpoint, getting their new offensive pieces integrated into what they're doing. And then obviously For Lamar Jackson, you're going to have to score some points to win this game.
Well, let's also call for what it is. Just back to Benjamin for a quick second before we get the update from Jay. Come back, the great Roger Staubach is going to be on set, which is a real treat. Certainly not in the business of body shaming anybody. I should be one to talk here. But Kelvin Benjamin, can you have a little professional pride?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, when you're a pro athlete at a speed position and you're grossly out of shape and everywhere you go, or it's been a talking point.
Right.
You know, it's not us. It's kind of you.
It is what it is.
Probably something you might want to address. Otherwise, he's going to be out of the NFL in a year.
Yeah, we wanted to say it was just the beginning of training camp issue a couple years ago.
Yes. Remember the picture that was floating around?
Yeah.
Then he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to shave off some pounds, and you know, you can't do cardio when you have your knee repaired. I mean, this is now 3 years later.
I mean,
and we're kind of getting into what should be the prime of his career. And he is a colossal disappointment. And think about what the Bills gave up to get him.
I know.
They gave up a multitude of picks.
Agreed.
They made a trade for him.
Well, because he looked so promising as a rookie. Almost he had 1,000 yards.
I think he had 9 touchdowns as a rookie,
yeah,
too,
he did.
Carolina.
I think
it was 9.
He looked like the guy. Problem is, right now, he's looking like a tight end.
He is.
That's not what people need out of him.
You know, that you can listen, if you look like a tight end, that's fine. But when it says WR next to your name, that's not good. All right, Teek, let's get a timeout. Coming up, as we said, Roger Staubach will be with us on set here. And, of course, Roger the Dodger, I mean, is as good as it gets. And just how much what this game means to both schools and both sides and how the game football's changed since Roger was here. Hit some NFL stuff as well with his Dallas Cowboys. But back to our studio. Jay Berman's got the update. Here's Jay coming at you right now. All right, so we heard the Army fight song. Now we got to show a little love to the Navy side. Of course, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We're going to be joined by Roger Staubach here in a moment. 1963 Heisman Trophy winner. Great Cowboy. It's time to ask the pros, Teek, though. We do it every – there's Roger the Dodger. 1 second, sir. Give you a chance to do this every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We do ask the pros. Just tweet us your questions at CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, use the hashtag AskThePros to identify it. Teek and I will go through and we'll pick the most interesting one. So there you go. We'll answer it for you before we get out of here. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every single day. I'm standing up for this. Are you kidding me? Think I'm going to sit down and shake Mr. Roger Staubach's hand? Sir, how are you?
Good.
Welcome
good
to Tiki and Tierney. You don't have to
how
get up. We have to get up.
Yeah, exactly.
Roger the Dodger. What's happening, sir?
Well, I got my hat on, but I got more hair than you guys. Can
you still fling it, though? I don't know.
I can still. Actually, on Thanksgiving Day, we have a turkey bowl, and I threw hit 9 out of 10, actually. I can't run like I used to, but I can still throw a little.
Oh, I love that.
I asked you that because we saw the footage, and you were still spinning it pretty good and still incredibly good.
Did your arm hurt afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it killed
it. Did it really? Where, like right in here, right?
It takes me about almost a year to recover.
So you can
do
it again?
Once a year.
Once a year? Yeah. So we came in, we were listening to Anchors Away, which is the Navy fight song. Did you guys have to learn it?
Yes, we did. As plebes, we had to learn everything.
So oh, that's
we,
great.
We had this book called Reef Points, too. You had to memorize all this stuff.
Did you say reef?
Reef
I
points.
Didn't think they allowed that in the military.
No, not reefer. Reef.
Reef points.
Reef points.
You know, someone would come up to you and say, how's the cow? Well, you had to say, she walks, she talks, she's full of chalk. The lactical fluid extracted from the female, the bovine species, is directly proportional to the number of milk cartons on the table.
Wow. What happened if you didn't do that?
Oh, you'd have to report to the room at 6:15 in the morning and do about 100 push-ups.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What was the purpose of learning those things?
Well, it was just discipline, you know.
Yeah.
Just you're supposed to, you know, shine your shoes, no reef points and do all this stuff, and it's discipline.
Yeah. You know, you talk about discipline. And
it's good, really.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, of course it is. I mean,
you can overdo it sometimes.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, trust me. You know, I had a coach like that. Tom Coughlin with discipline.
Yeah.
But when you think about, when I think about the military academies and what you guys went through is probably very similar to what the guys now go through. Has it changed a lot over the years for the athletes that are midshipmen and cadets?
Well, that's a great question. It probably hasn't changed a lot, but it's changed because it's a leadership position you're going to have someday to be in the service. But overall, it's still the responsibilities you have when you graduate or to lead men and women in the armed services that are going out to protect you and me and our kids, our grandkids. And so it's a a lot of responsibility to be an officer in the service.
That's incredible. I've mentioned a few times on the show, I went to an all-boys Jesuit high school, which was JROTC, and the first year as a freshman, you had to do it, and then you had the option of staying with it, and three of my buddies wound up going to West Point, one of whom was the colonel at Xavier High School, so I know what they go through. It wasn't for me. I did my 1 year. Nobody respects the military more than me. I mean, profound respect. But it wasn't a lifestyle that I thought that I could flourish with. Did you know early? Because the military is so unique. You've got to be wired a certain way. Did you know when you were a young man, young boy actually, that might be something?
No, I really didn't. I was more recruited as a football player. And Rick Frazzano was a defensive back coach for Navy. And he was responsible for Cincinnati and just called me out of class when he went visited my high school, and I went up to visit the Naval Academy, and I just liked it. I wanted to get a good education, and I wanted to play sports. I played baseball and football. Mm-hmm. So I became more in love with the Naval Academy once I was there than when.
Yeah, beforehand.
But did you consider West Point as well, or no?
I did talk to West Point, and they, but they didn't recruit me like.
No, wait, West Point recruited over you?
Well,
not saying that, are you?
No, I did talk to someone, but I did not go visit there.
Like, gotcha.
Maybe if I did go visit there, because West Point is.
I've been there. It's incredible.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's incredible. Gorgeous.
But I physically visited the Naval Academy, and
gotcha.
That sold me on the Naval Academy.
That's when you were signed up. Yeah. Give me that letter of intent. Let's start doing some business. Yeah. The great Roger Staubach is with us here on set, which is a tremendous honor, obviously.
Yeah. Did you have designs on being an NFL player when you, or a professional baseball player, when you went to the military academy?
No.
to Navy?
I didn't have any idea.
Yeah.
And when I
But you were good in high school. I mean, you had to have been.
I was good in I played, baseball was, I played all 4 years in college. Actually, at Navy, I batted .420 one year.
And you guys used wooden bats back then, right?
Nice.
Wooden bats back then.
Oh, yes. We had wooden bats, yeah.
So what was your greater love, football or baseball?
Well, it became more in football. I was switched to quarterback my senior in high school because I was the coach said I had a strong arm, and I played defense my whole junior year.
Serious?
Yeah. And so I went to quarterback, and I really started – I didn't want to be a quarterback at first, but then I really started liking being a quarterback.
Yeah, and you're in control. You're leading the huddle.
Yeah.
It's like you do at military school.
You went to the dance after the game, and the girls liked you more.
Yeah. You were the star. You were the
That's
hero.
What matters, Roger. Yeah. Let's be honest, buddy.
Yeah, I mean,
So was it the 63 – or it was 63, right, the Heisman?
Yep.
So the 63 Heisman, which was your junior year, is that when you knew that you could play in the NFL?
Well, I
like,
probably
what was the thought
I wasn't
process?
Sure about the NFL as far as playing, and I had confidence that I could compete. And so the college All Star game really, because I took leave when I graduated, I played in the college All Star. That's when we played. Actually, Gale Sayers was on our team.
Wow. Give us some other names real quick.
Butkus, Sayers.
Oh wow!
And, yeah, we had some really good players on the team.
Wow.
So I knew that I could play football again someday, but I didn't think I would play again because 4 years when you're young seems like an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But it went by, and going into my fourth year in the service, I decided I went to training camp with the Cowboys and took 2 weeks leave and went to training camp, and I had a real good training camp. I mostly worked out with rookies, but I still had a really good training camp, and that's when I decided I was going to spend my last year in the service and then join the Cowboys.
But you were a 27-year-old rookie. 27-year-old rookie. Just try to imagine that. Think about all the quarterbacks we talk about now, whether it's Darnold,
we don't even
Josh
give
Allen, the, Baker Mayfield.
A 27-year-old rookie, we wouldn't give a shot.
We wouldn't give him a shot. And you were probably the most mature person in the locker room at age 20 as a rookie.
Well, that was a help because Coach Landry, Don Meredith retired when I left. The service, and he was still 31, so I didn't think I'd stay with Dallas because they had Craig Morton, and then they traded Jerry Rome. But because of my age and what Coach Landry felt that I my maturity, that they didn't go and trade for another veteran quarterback. They put me as a rookie as a backup to Craig Morton. That was a major event in my life that I was just a backup quarterback to Craig instead of a third-team quarterback that...
With just an arm.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, if Tom Landry didn't, and that's part of the reason why he's Tom Landry, to have that ability to think out of the box and see things down the road, if Tom Landry didn't have that belief in you, I mean, you might just be Roger Staubach, the Heisman Trophy winner and great American, but not the great Dallas Cowboys
champion. Well,
that's
exactly right, because Coach Landry... And taking that 2 weeks leave, going to training camp, and having Coach Landry believe in me made all the difference in the world. Because that whole year that I was finished up at Pensacola Naval Air Station, I kept thinking about what, you know, that Coach Landry believed in me, and it made a big difference.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, tell us what this Army-Navy game means to you. Because obviously it's iconic rivalry. It's one of the greatest in the history of rivalries. But what does it mean to you to be here?
Well, when we talked about the Cowboys, the most nervous I've ever been in any football game was my first Army Navy game. That was 1962.
Where was it? Was it here in Philly?
It was in Philadelphia. Okay. I played all three Army Navy games in Philadelphia back then, and so we ended up winning 35-14, and I had a. I don't like to talk about it.
Hey, listen.
Yeah,
I threw for two. Put the humility aside. Threw for two and ran for two.
Attaboy,
Roger. Here we go.
Who scored the other two?
Hold on. He's not done yet. Now we got
had my picture in the paper in Philadelphia, and I was walking around the street with my future wife. I didn't know that at the time. She's my girlfriend.
Okay.
And so I was a big shot then.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So the Army-Navy game, before the game, I was a nervous wreck, but we won that game, and it was a big – Yeah, it was the biggest win I've ever had.
What was your record in the 3 years?
We won in 62-63, and that was played on behalf of the Kennedy family. It was 21-15. Mm-hmm. Army had a great quarterback named Rolly Stitchway that almost pulled it out at the end, but we won. And then our first class year, senior year, we lost 11-8, and Stitchway again had
11-8. What happened that day?
Yeah, we were all over the field, but we didn't get the ball. We missed a few field goals.
I'm sure the style of the field goal kicker was a little different then too.
But Army was
that straight on kick.
Army was really good, and Stitchway was. Yeah. They beat us 11-8.
Yeah. Well, listen, you speaking of Army, the Black Knights of the Hudson Valley, they got your number a little bit right now. I mean, you know, when you sit in the stands, I'm sure it doesn't quite generate the juices that you had playing, but are you still living and dying on every snap when you watch Army-Navy?
I respect Army. I pull for Army. They were playing Oklahoma this year and every other
game. They almost beat them.
I know.
Lost by a touchdown.
Yeah, but in this game, I want Navy to win everything.
Of course you do.
That's all that matters.
And so 100%. We've had a rough year, and we could make, you know, obviously that old saying, hey, we lose every game, we beat Army, we've had a successful year. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't lost every game this year, but we've lost some tough ones.
Real quick, the great Roger Staubach. I know you got a question about Dak. Roger Staubach is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Roger, I'm not going to ask you about Dak. I'm going to ask you more about the prep that the Army, the Military Academy, because you see this, and we'll have it with Paul, Pete Dawkins, who's coming up at the beginning of our next hour. He also did a lot of great things after sport and after his military service. How much did it prepare you for the great things that you did outside of sport? Because the business, one of the great things I respect about you is what you did as a businessman, as a former athlete, and as obviously someone who was on the public stage. How much did this prepare you for that?
A whole lot. I mean, in business, you know, in sports and in the service, you have the right people in the right places, but you got to get them working together. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a lot about teamwork, perseverance, hard work, all those things became important to me as a football player too. And even though I worked in the off season in the real estate business, I never missed going out to the practice field late in the afternoon every day.
Yeah.
So you have to, that old saying, it takes a lot of unspectacular preparation to get spectacular results.
Yep. Yeah.
I learned that in the service, and it transferred to me in my life as a businessman and in football also.
Yeah,
you're an American hero.
I was lucky to go. I was very fortunate to go to the Naval Academy. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Boy, and one of the worst that Army made by not recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. And Air Force and everybody else. 10 seconds. Where's Dallas going there? How far is Dallas going? Are you buying them all the way or what?
They play somebody. Who do they play this weekend?
Cowboys are playing the
Eagles. What a story last year. Yeah, I was just kidding.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know.
They're playing the Eagles.
Everybody's talking to you about the Eagles and the Cowboys earlier.
They're playing the Eagles. Yeah, he did 19,000 interviews.
Dallas has got a good football team right now.
Good defense.
Yeah, and the Eagles are, you know, the Eagles are the Eagles. They won the Super Bowl last year, and we got to knock them out.
Roger Staubach, yeah. An absolute honor, sir. Thank
good
you for thank
you.
Stopping by. There
Thanks.
He is, Roger Staubach. Yeah. Roger the Dodger. Just look at this guy, an American legend, a hero. It's the man. Hour two coming up from Philly. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.